Thank you for tuning in to today's podcast. To learn more about City Place Church, visit cityplacechurch.com or follow us on Instagram and Facebook at City Place Church.
Turn with me to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. There's some sermon notes on your seat. If this is your first time here, welcome. My name is Damon. My wife, her name is Taisha, and we are the lead pastors of City Place Church, and we're so grateful that you came this morning. We've been in a series called You in 5 Years. Inside of your worship guide, you're going to find several different resources to make this service just a little bit more accommodating to you. There's a connection card that will just tell you a little bit that will allow us to send you some more information about our church and just say thank you for being a part. There's also an offering envelope. We worship the Lord in our giving at the end of our service. And then there's some sermon notes that allows us to follow along this morning. And so last week we talked about creating a vision for our life spiritually. And we asked some questions about just how God would align us. We've been in a series called You in 5 Years. And we said that we want to begin to see God show us what our future would look like so that we don't live day by day, year by year, because God thinks of things from the end to the beginning. And if we can align ourselves with what God sees, we will lose a lot of the disappointment that we face in our life. And so we said we're going to think in decades and not days. And so what we did, we created a series called You in 5 Years because that's manageable. Sometimes it's hard to go, God, give me 10 years. Whew, that's going to take forever. No, what we're saying is, God, show me the next decade of my life, but let me get a glimpse of 5 years. And so You in 5 Years. And so last week we talked about having a vision for our life spiritually. We said that we need vision for our life in 4 areas. We said we need a spiritual vision, a physical vision, a stewardship vision, and a vision for our social influence, those around us. And so this week we are focusing on vision for our life physically. When I'm saying physically, I mean physically. I mean physically. Like so many times when I'm walking someplace, people get me confused with Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Physically. You see what I mean? So physically is what we're talking about, but I'm not going to talk about a workout routine. I'm talking about the physical side of our life because when God gives us purpose and destiny, there is a role that we play in fulfilling that. Are you with me? And so we want to be healthy while we're fulfilling that. So we've got our spiritual vision, which last week we just talked about. What if we just pursued God's presence so that we can know him? Like, and that's just like a vision, to pursue his presence to know him. Like just a vision statement for our life. So that way, if I create vision for my life, we define vision as being something that constrains us. It constrains us from picking something that's not a part of the assignment. It's the discipline that we need to fulfill something. So vision constrains. And if I don't have a vision, I just got an idea. I'm just chasing something else. But if I have a God-aligned vision, then it gives me discipline. We said in week number one that Jesus had clear vision. In one of the Gospels, Jesus said, I came to seek and save those who were lost. Anything outside of that, Jesus is like, that's not why I'm here. So if you and I have vision for our life, then there's things that I'm not going to say yes to. There's things that I'm not going to allow the enemy to steal from me, because I've got a clear God vision. So this morning, we're just going to spend a couple of minutes. John chapter 5, 3-9 says this. In these lay a great multitude of sick people. Everybody say sick. Blind, lame, paralyzed, and waiting. Now I'll pick up from there. For a moving of the water, for an angel went down at a certain time into the pool, stirring up the water. Then whoever stepped in first, after the stirring of the water, was made well of whatever, everybody say whatever, disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity. Say infirmity. Now look, infirmity, by definition, when you look it up, it meant to restrain corrupt desires, to bear trials and troubles. So here's a guy sitting at this pool who's dealing with some life issues. Life issues sitting at the pool with sick people, blind people, lame people, paralyzed people, and all of them were waiting. You got it so far? So he has an infirmity, and he's been dealing with this infirmity for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there, and he knew that he had already been in that condition for a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" I don't know about you. Sometimes I laugh at Jesus because he already knew, but yet he asked. He already knew, but yet he asked. See, Jesus wants to make sure that you're not comfortable with keeping the issue that you've been dealing with. That's kind of wrong, ain't it? Because some of us are comfortable with the infirmity, with the trouble, with the sickness, with being paralyzed, with going through this stress and this addiction, with this problem, with this behavior. And Jesus says, "Do you want to be made well? It's your choice." What if he would have said no? That's a question for heaven. Would Jesus have forced his power on him? Things that make you go, that's old school, y'all. That's old school. Watch. So he didn't really reply. So the sick man answered him saying, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me." Here's what the man is saying. My vision for physical health is dependent on waiting on someone else while the power of God is near me. I'm waiting on somebody else to help me, even though the power of God is near me. That's how I read it. Then Jesus looked past his excuse and said, "Your heart wants to be healed." And he says this. He says, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. And that day was the Sabbath day. Here, you in 5 years. Here's your target. You ready? You in 5 years. To be physically fit and a healthy soul. To be physically fit and a healthy soul, the ability to live in godly freedom. To be physically fit and a healthy soul, the ability to live in godly freedom. Physically fit, healthy soul, the ability to live in God's freedom. Week number one, our spiritual target was we wanted to be spiritually mature, the ability to know the echo of God's voice in his heart. You in 5 years target, I want to be physically fit and healthy, the ability to live in godly freedom. 3 John says this, chapter 1, verse 2, it says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health," everybody say health, "just as your soul prospers." My desire is that you prosper in all things and be in health as your soul prospers. So I need to be physically healthy and I have to have soul health. God's desire is that I'm prospering in all things. So if we ever question if God wants me to prosper, yes. If we ever question, does God want me to be sick? The answer is no. God wants me to be healed. Walking in health, soul issues, not a part of his design. He wants you to prosper in your health. So in order to fulfill my God-aligned vision, I have to have vision for my body and my soul. I have to have vision for my body and my soul. See, when God gives us vision, body can't be breaking down. The enemy will throw blows. We will go through trials, the Bible says, but everything that we can do in our own strength, we have to do. I will tell you that the more you pursue God's promise, the enemy will not just stand and applaud. He will throw blows at you to try to take you out. But if we are year number one, last week we talked about being spiritually mature so I can know God's voice. I'm lining up with his vision. If I have God's vision, then I'm going to trust that God's strategy is going to work for me. So I'm leaning spiritually mature now. 5 years. We're giving ourselves 5 years to grow in spiritual maturity. If I'm knowing God's voice, then I also know when the enemy's lying. Are you with me? Second target, I want to be physically fit and have a healthy soul so that I can live in freedom. I have to allow Jesus permission. I just wrote these down. I have to allow Jesus to break me free from my mindset, break me free from people, break me free from illness and sickness, break me free from my addiction and strongholds, and break me free from financial strongholds. If I'm going to be physically fit and so healthy, I have to let Jesus break me free from everything that will break down one of those two things. Financial problems will mess up your soul. Your soul is made up of your mind, your will, and your emotions. Anybody ever get that high water bill? That electric bill? You used to $80, $300, what? Where did this come from? Messes with your emotions? The argument, the gossiping person, the one that's talking about you behind your back, and you feel like you can't do nothing about it, you can't say anything, because Jesus' word says, turn the other cheek. You're trying to represent Jesus. Stress in your home. Stress on your job. Trying to have prayers answered. If I allow Jesus to deal with those things, I'll break free. See, the story was that there was five porches. When you read the text that I read, and it said that it was filled with multitudes. I was looking up the word multitudes, and it meant many people, watch now, who were constrained. They were constrained, and they felt powerless. There was a multitude of people on five porches, and my wife and I, we were just in Israel last year, and it looks big. When you read it, it looks big. Small. It's small. It was literally, and maybe time had made it smaller, but it was literally from about this, that cloth there to this cloth there, from that front row to about right here, and then it was just a few porches, and we were like, the pool? Right there? So imagine there's multitudes of people all around, and the first one that got in gets the miracle. How disappointing. You're waiting for a miracle, and nothing's happening. But I find that it's ironic that Jesus shows up, and every person that's waiting doesn't recognize that the miracle worker is in their vicinity. In this room this morning, we saw Jesus show up in the building, but he also lives in your house. He resides with you every single day. The question is are we waiting for someone to help us have our encounter with the miracle worker? See, if I give Jesus permission, he'll break everything in my life, because there were sick people. New category, blind people. See, we categorize everybody as sick people. Well, the Bible says there were sick people, blind people, lame people, paralyzed people, and those with infirmities. Isn't that crazy that the Bible would say there were sick people, lame people, blind people? Why? Because the issues of our soul can do everything that a physical illness can do. I can be dealing with an issue and it could paralyze me. Have you ever had to address a situation and instead of addressing it, you just stood and watched it take place? Paralyzed. See, Jesus is fully aware that we will go through different things, and so he doesn't categorize everything in the same category. He just says, give me an opportunity to change it. Here, you can write this down. It's a fill in the blank. God's vision for my body is a temple, small lines, guys, sorry, is a temple full of his presence. God's vision for my body is a temple full of his presence, sculptured in his image, created to impact the world with his power. God's vision for my body is a temple full of his presence, sculptured in his image, created to impact the world with his power. That's the reason why We got to be physically fit and have a healthy soul. God's vision, one more time. God's vision for my body is a temple full of his presence, sculptured in his image, created to impact the world with his power. Let me prove it. 1 Corinthians 6 says this. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You possess the presence of the Lord. Let me tell you why you got so much power. John chapter 15 says, when the advocate comes, whom I send to you from the Father, he is the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father. He testifies of me. So you living on the inside of us, our physically fit body is a comforter, an advocate, a truth teller, a reminder, the power source of heaven. What resides with him are the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-sufferance, patience. All of that rests in you. It's just that we can constantly overlook him. We can overlook the power of the presence of the Lord. Romans 8:11 says, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Your body was created so that it could house his presence, sculptured in his image. Genesis says that when he formed you, he took his time and breathed his own life into you. But he didn't just put us here so that we can just do our own thing. He put his spirit in us so that when we see someone, we can pray for them, because you and I represent him. So you and I are conduits of his power. So let's get practical really fast so I can give you a couple of things to think about, because this is just a snippet of today's message. One broken place in you impacts his dwelling place. One broken place in you impacts his dwelling place. It's hard to park a Bentley in a crowded, junky garage. We saw a Bentley the other day, and the person had parked it in one of those spots where no one could hit the car. Bentley. It was clean. I've never seen a junky Bentley. Have you ever seen a fancy car? I've never seen it with dirt on it. Have you ever thought about it? I've never seen a Ferrari drive by and it didn't have shiny tires. Why? Because the vessel is viewed in such high value. That's you. And so there's no way that we could keep junk inside of a Bentley. Because when God looks at it, he says, priceless. I created this one, but it won't match the other one. I created that one. It may look the same, but it's not the same. So one broken place in you impacts his presence. Why? Because an unhealthy soul, junk can't reside. God wants to move it all out. So if I give Jesus permission to move it all out, then the Bentley can run properly. Physical fitness, I'm just giving y'all a lot before we go. Physical fitness and a healthy soul involves Jesus and me. It involves Jesus and me. Jesus and me. Number one, Jesus provides the vision for my life and the health. Jesus provides the vision for my life and the health. Jesus says, rise, take up your bed, walk. He gave him vision. Hey, Fred, here's your vision that I see for your life. Rise, take up your bed, watch now, walk. I see you walking. I see you carrying the thing that once was your excuse. I see you victorious. I see you following my voice. Did you catch that? Rise, follow my voice. That was week number one, to be able to hear his voice. Rise, take up the thing that's been impacting your soul, and walk. See, vision will involve Jesus and me. So Jesus will give it to us. We grab hold of it. Here's the second one. When it comes to me, I have to respond and align my thoughts, my words and my actions with what Jesus told me. So I have to align my thoughts and my actions with what Jesus told me. The Bible says that the man grabbed his bed as he got up and he walked. So the vision that Jesus had declared over him became his own. He could have said, I'm going to stay right here until the man comes and help me in the pool. But Jesus gave him clear vision. I want you to rise. I want you to take up your bed, and I want you to walk. And so the man said, you know what? If I'm going to be aligned with God's vision and I'm going to be physically fit and healthy in my soul, then I'm going to align and I'm going to put it to action. He says, okay, let me get up. That became my vision. My vision is going to be, I'm going to get up. I'm going to get doing something. I'm going to grab what was holding me down, and I'm going to become victorious. I'm going to carry it. I'm just going to throw it. And then I'm going to walk. So God's vision for your life, physically and healthy soul, involves Jesus and you. So practically speaking, I'm not going to be able to get through all this. It's too good. It's too good. Is it okay if I finish this next week? The reason why is because I'm looking at my notes, and I feel myself rushing, and I don't want you to miss it. Because this next part is about your soul. It's about your soul, and I don't want you to miss it, okay? So practically speaking, the notes that I gave you, I want you to go over those, okay? I want you to read the text that we read earlier. I want you to just meditate on that this week, okay? Come back next Sunday well-read and ready to go, knowing that if we give Jesus permission to deal with some of these things, he started it this morning, then next week we're going to talk about a healthy soul. Okay, we're going to talk about a healthy soul, and we're going to wrap some things up, because on the first Sunday in March, our church is going to celebrate 4 years old. And so I just want you guys to know what's coming up as we finish this. I wanted to finish next week because we're going to jump into stewardship. And I've got some keys for you in 5 years with your stewardship of your time, your talent, and your money. And I've been like, oh, I want to hurry up and get there because it was good. But we're going to rest in our soul. Amen? Is it okay if I just pull on the brakes? Like, were you able to get anything in my rushing? Good.
That's all for this week's podcast edition. Join us online at cityplacechurch.com for more resources, upcoming events, or to submit a prayer request. Or if you are in the Central Florida area, join us on Sunday morning for a life-giving service that builds dreams, ignites faith, and establishes leaders for the kingdom of Christ.